Tithe and offering. Tithe and offering. Hebrews 3:19. And so we see that they could not enter in because of their unbelief. They could not enter in because of their unbelief. And the writer's Hebrew is referring to the nation of Israel. They couldn't enter into the promised land because of their unbelief. The first generation was unwilling to accept the blessing that God had for them because of the fear of what might happen. They didn't enter in because of their unbelief. They didn't believe that God could do it. They didn't believe that God was capable of performing what he promised that he would do. And so because of that, they didn't enter in. And a lot of times we don't enter into promises because we don't believe that God will do it. Or we don't believe that we deserve it. I mean, what did the Israelites do to deserve to receive an entire nation that they did nothing to produce for? You know, it was a land flowing with milk and honey. It had crops that had been planted. It had vineyards that had been planted. It had farms that were fully set up. It had cities that were made and industries. And God was saying, I'm going to give you this land. They didn't do anything to deserve it. But God delighted in giving it to him. Sometimes God delights in giving us something, but we don't think that we deserve it. And we don't enter in because of our unbelief. Well, I don't really deserve that. Well, I want to give it to you. Well, but I didn't do anything for it. So? You know, we don't enter in because we don't believe. And sometimes, you know, our doctrines say, well, we should be poor. We shouldn't prosper. We need to be poor. Well, that's not what Jesus taught. Jesus didn't teach people to be poor. He taught people to be rich in God rather than rich in material things. That material things are secondary. He said, God knows that you need these things. Don't worry about those. Worry about your relationship with God. Worry about your wealth with God. And God will take care of these things. So if we focus on being rich in God and abundant in him and his resources, we'll get the rest. It just comes. Because God will cause us to enter into the promised land. And we will enter in because we believe. We believe that God has a good plan for us, that he wants to lead us and guide us and prosper us in the way we go. So don't let unbelief keep you back from what God wants to give you. But believe and let him bless you because he loves you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you do desire to bless us like any parent loves to bless their children. You desire to see us blessed. And we thank you, Lord, for that. Help us to walk it out and to honor and glorify you in all of it. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God is full of compassion. God is full of compassion. You know, it's part of his character to be compassionate. And we see God's compassion throughout the history of Scripture of who God is. And we see that in creation, God created man and woman. He created Adam and Eve. And it shows his compassion just in creating man. He didn't have to create man. There's no reason for it. There's no purpose to it. It's because he wanted to do it, because he had compassion. He wanted to create man. And so then he created everything to provide for man's need. So he created everything. He put man in the middle and said, here you go. I've given you everything that you could possibly want, need, or want. Here you go. Make of it what you will. And so here he was. And it's like, what do I mean by needs and wants? It's like, well, everything that you need, all the food and all the clothing and all that, but also that what you would want, you know, in Genesis, it talks about where the gold and precious stones were. Well, you don't need them. What would Adam need of gold and onyx and beryl? And what does he need it for? There's wisdom right there. But it, beauty, just, it was a want. It wasn't a need. He didn't need it to survive, but God provided that. And everything that we have in the world today, God had put in the earth when Adam and Eve were still, before Adam and Eve were, God made everything and set it in motion. And the resources that are there shows us how great compassion, how great and compassionate God is. And Adam and Eve then made a mistake. God created everything. He could have said, okay, we're done. And we wouldn't have had anything. We never would have known anything. We wouldn't have existed. It would have been done. Or he could have just left them to their own devices. But God, in his compassion, said, you know what? You've made a mistake. Let me help you. He didn't just pronounce judgment and say, you know, this, this, and this. God told them what was going to happen because of the decision that they made. And then he took care of them. They were naked. They said, we're afraid because we're naked. And God said, let me take care of that for you. I will clothe you. And it says that he killed and he clothed them. They didn't clothe themselves. God did it. Because he had compassion on them. They knew their sin and they didn't know how to deal with it, but God knew how to deal with it, so he did. Because God was full of compassion. And God's compassion shows up in the first generation. Cain and Abel had a bit of a discussion. And Cain and Abel weren't happy with each other. And Cain and Abel came to blows. But before that, God came to Cain and said, listen, Cain, sin wants to master you, but you need to rule over it. You need to not let it control you. Because God knew what was going to happen, but even though God knew what was going to happen, he tried to stop Cain from doing it because of his compassion. He didn't want Cain to suffer the consequences of the decision, nor did he want Abel to have to die because of his brother's sin. And so God was moved with compassion. He said, Cain, stop, stop. But Cain didn't, and he sinned. But even in that, God didn't strike him dead. It'd say, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, life for life, you must die. He didn't say that. He said, listen, because you've done that, then you are going to be cast out. You will be shunned by everyone. You'll wander, you will be a vagabond, and the earth won't provide for you anymore because of what you've done. And he said, and Cain said, this is too much. I can't bear it. They're going to find me and they're going to kill me. And God said, no, I will put my mark on you that they will know that they don't have a right to kill you. I will mark you so that they won't kill you. God's compassion pours out in this situation, in this circumstance. Even when he did wrong, even when they've sinned horribly, God loved people. God had compassion. And we go down a little bit later, and all of creation, all of humanity, it says that their thoughts were continually evil before God. Their thoughts were, I mean, can you imagine this? Yes, just turn on some TV programs. Their thoughts were continually evil before God. And it says all of humanity was like this. But Noah found grace in God's sight. God had compassion on Noah. He wasn't, because he could have just said, okay, well, they don't want to have what I've got. They don't want life. They don't want salvation. They don't want God. They just want to do their own thing. They want to enter into Satan's rebellion and they want to be fully sold out to him. That's fine. Fine, have it. I'm done. I'm out. And he could have let the whole thing collapse. He could have been done. He could have wiped everything out. He made all of creation. And at any point, God can say, we're done. And collapse it and be done. But he doesn't because of his compassion. And in this moment, when all of humanity is in rebellion against God in their heart, God had compassion and found Noah. And in Noah, he was able to save humanity from the corruption that had entered into their heart. And he had Noah, because Noah believed, he found grace in God's sight. And he built an ark, and he was able to save himself, his wife, and his three sons and their wives. So 8 people got brought in and started out the world over again. Because of God's compassion, God wasn't done with humanity. He wasn't done with us. And then even after that, we see sin and we see rebellion. And we see God finds a man. Well, in this time, trying to figure out where I want to go here. So humanity comes together and they decide, you know what, we're going to build a tower. And it's going to reach into the heavens. Again, man, rebelling against God. God said, go forth and populate the earth. And they're building a tower up into the heavens. And it's interesting. I heard somebody note. They said that they mortared it with pitch. Why do you mortar something with pitch? To waterproof it. They were waterproofing the tower because they were afraid of another flood. So they were going to protect themselves by having this great tower that was going to keep them safe. So you can see why God's like, let's see what they're up to. And he came down and he said, you know what? They're all of one mind, and we're going to end up in the same situation that we were just in when I had to kill everybody and save everybody with just Noah. And I don't want to do that again. I said, I refuse to do it. He came to the end. He says, I will not do that again. It was too much. He didn't want, because of his compassion, because of his heart, he didn't want to kill everyone. He wanted to destroy everyone. He said, I won't do it again. And that's where the rainbow comes in. He says, I have put my rainbow in the cloud, my bow in the sky as a covenant, as a reminder that I will not do it. Every time you see a rainbow, it's God. It's God's covenant saying, I won't destroy humanity like that again. Never again will he cover the face of the earth with water and destroy all of mankind. He's not going to do it because he made the promise. And so here they are. Again, they're rebelling. They're in that same situation. And God says, I got to do something. I can't let them continue down this path. And he says, I'm going to confuse their languages. Now they're going to have to work at communicating with one another. Do you ever talk to somebody and really feel like, you know what, we're not connecting here? And it may not be a foreign language issue. You know, it's just now we have confusion where we have to struggle to communicate with one another. And so we spend a lot of time trying to figure out what each other means. What are you trying to say? Praise God for his Holy Spirit. But it's God's compassion that he confused the languages, because he didn't want to end up in the same situation where he would have to destroy humanity, or that humanity would destroy itself. So then all these nations start pulling apart, and we have this people group and that people group, and this is where we get the people groups from, the different languages, the different cultures, started at this point. And all pairing off, and they start worshiping their own gods, and all the demonic entities in the world now have their own little people group that worship them. And God says, I don't have anyone. There's no one worshiping me. He says, you know what? I'm going to find me somebody. And he found Abram. He found Abram. And he took Abram and he said, you know what? You're going to be mine. I'm going to make you the father of many nations. I shall call you Abraham, because you will be the father of many nations. And so then Abraham followed God, and he was faithful to what God had asked him to do, not perfectly, because of God's grace and mercy and loving kindness, because God was compassionate. God endured with Abraham because Abraham believed. That is the one thing that you see in this, is God is willing to work with people who believe. He's willing to endure with people who believe. He's willing to extend tremendous amount of compassion and love and understanding to people who believe. And so even though Abraham didn't fully follow God, God said, leave your father and mother and your household and go to a nation where I will show you. And so he left and he went to the next city, but he kept his father-in-law and his nephew, or his, not his father-in-law, his uncle and his nephew. And he went there. And God said, follow me. And he only went to the next city. But he finally did follow him. And he went to where God had called him to be. And in that, God said, I will give you a child of promise. It's not going to be your servant that's the head over your household, because I have called you to be the father of many nations. I will give you a child. I promise you. And so then in the process, you know, we know the story. Sarah had a great idea. Here's my maid. Why don't you have a child through her? Because that's going to work out so well. And so he did. And then we had Ishmael, and we had the Ishmaelites, and they were constantly a problem to the Israelites, and they caused problems. But eventually, Abraham got it. He got it. God said, no, this wasn't it. I said, it's going to come through Sarah. And he's like, ha, I got it, Lord. Even though he was old and he was no longer fertile and Sarah was no longer fertile, he said, God, I believe you. I mean, imagine the kind of faith that you would have to have to believe for something that you know is an impossibility. And he did it. And that's why he was the father of faith. That's why he believed even though he never saw. Because God had compassion. God had a plan. And we see that God in Joseph had compassion, not only on his family. Joseph was the youngest. And God had a plan for him. And he had a dream that his brothers and sisters were going to bow down to him. And then he saw his mother and father were going to bow down to him. And being a young man, he got lifted up in pride and said, ha, 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 you're going to bow down to me. And they all got mad at him. He ended up getting sold into slavery. But he eventually saw that. And because of God's compassion, God sent Joseph to Egypt ahead of them, so that he could prepare the way to save Abraham's seed. Not only Abraham's seed, but Egypt and the entire region. Because of Joseph's wisdom, because God used Joseph to tell them that a great famine was coming, and that there would be a famine for 7 years, that there would be an abundance for 7 years and a famine for 7 years, that the abundance of 7 years would be eaten up by the 7 years of famine. Because of that, Joseph was given a place of second in command, and God's wisdom through him was able to not only save Egypt, but the entire region in that area. And that's why Egypt became so powerful, because they had the resources when nobody else, they had food when everybody else was starving. And they became the world power at that time because of God, because of Joseph. And God in Joseph, and God's compassion to see his people saved. But then the people of God forgot Joseph, or the people of Egypt forgot Joseph. They forgot who he was, and they began to oppress, and how they had saved Egypt. And they began to oppress the Israelites, the Hebrews. And God had compassion and heard their cry. And he came and he saved them. We talked about the last couple of weeks what God did to save the nation of Israel from Egypt, and how great and mighty God was. And God delivered them, and he took them out, and he took them as his own people. He said, you will be my people and I will be your God. And he provided for them, and he protected them, and he gave them truth. He spoke the law to them and showed them truth, showed them how to live, how to walk in health and life, and how to be blessed and how to prosper. And he shepherded them and he chastised them. And he disciplined and comforted them. We see it over and over again that the nation of Israel, as they progressed, that God guided and shepherded their lives. He sent prophets. He sent mighty men. He sent wise men. He sent priests. He sent everything that they needed because God had great compassion for them. But they would wander away, and then they would call him, God would call them back. And if you read in the prophets, there's times when God would call them back even though they weren't repenting because of the promise that he made to Abraham, because of the promise that he made to Moses. And he drew them back and he reestablished them as a people. And then they would be rebellious and they would be chastised. And then he would love them and then he would send somebody. And this went on and on and on. That, you know, over and over and over again. You know, it's kind of like raising children. You tell them something and you kind of hope that they get it, but you kind of know that they're not going to. So you keep telling them, hoping that one day they'll figure it out. And you love them. And you have compassion on them, understanding that they haven't quite figured it out yet. And that's how God was with them. And God gave them a promise of a Savior. Told them, I will send a servant to you to save you and to deliver you, to heal you and prosper you and to redeem you. And that was Jesus. And God's great compassion is poured out and showed forth in Christ. And that God so loved the world. In Adam and Eve, God loved the world. In Noah, God loved the world. In Abraham, God loved the world. In Moses, God loved the world. In Jesus, God loved the world. He gave his son and showed forth how much compassion does he have. How much compassion and concern does God have? He's willing to give himself. He didn't hold anything back, just as Abraham didn't hold anything back from God. The most precious thing he had was the son of promise. And God said, give it to me. And Abraham said, yes, Lord. Then we can think that that's cruel. But God needed somebody who was willing to show the way of what God was wanting to do. And he found it in Abraham because he was giving himself, his own son, for our on our behalf because of his great compassion. Jesus came, who came from God. He is the only person that came from God, who knew God, saw God, knew who God was. He came from God into this world. And Jesus even says, he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Whatever, I only do what the Father tells me to do, and I only say what the Father tells me to say. Those are bold statements. And either he was who he said he was, or he was a nut job. He is who he said he was. He is the Son of God who came into this world. And as he is walking, I'm gonna just list off some scriptures and read them. So if you want to write them down, you're going to have to be quick or listen to this later. Matthew 9:36. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like having a sheep, like sheep having no shepherd. Because they had no shepherd, he was moved with compassion and said, I will lead you and guide you. I will show you the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. I am the door. I am the shepherd. I am the way. And he had compassion. He said, follow me. I will show you the way. I will lead you and guide you. Matthew 14:14, and when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. People coming to hear what he had to say, hearing this person who was doing miraculous things in the name of God, healing sick, cleansing lepers, raising the dead, preaching the acceptable year of the Lord. And he had compassion on them because they wanted to come and hear, and he healed their sick. People who were dealing with physical sickness and diseases, and he healed them because he loved them, because he had compassion. Mark 1:40-41. Now a leper came and implored him, kneeling down to him and saying, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus said with compassion, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said, "I am willing, be clean." The leper said, if you're willing, I recognize that you are a godly man. I recognize that God has put power inside of you. And I am an unclean leper. I am rejected of God. I am despised of God because of the leprous condition of my body proves that God has not accepted me and I am cast out. He said, but if you are willing, I can be made clean. And Jesus said, moved with compassion, said, "I am willing, be clean." Jesus, who is pure and sinless, undefiled before God, completely accepted, cannot be defiled and corrupted. Otherwise, he's not perfect. Reached out and touched a leprous person, whom for him to touch would make him unclean. But he's so pure that his purity overcame the corruption and said, because my cleanness touches you, you are clean. And corruption cannot hold you. You think that there are sins and there are corruptions in your soul that cannot be cleansed. If Jesus is in you, you are clean because corruption cannot stand in the purity of Christ. It cannot endure. Christ will overcome because his purity is so much greater than the corruption of sin. Luke 7:12-14. And when he came near the gates of the city, behold, a dead man was carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. And he said to her, "Do not weep." And he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And he did. He got up. Because of God's compassion, he restored to this woman her only son, so that she would have an inheritance, so that she would have something for her life to continue to go forward, to have purpose and meaning. Because of God's compassion. Matthew 15:32. Now Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, "I have compassion on the multitude because they have continued with me for 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way." God was even concerned about making sure they got food because of his compassion, because he was concerned for people. He says, "I don't want them to suffer on the way. I don't want them to get faint just because they're hungry." Isn't that great? God cares if you're hungry. And he has compassion on you. And he wants to provide for us. He wants to make sure that we have what we need. Matthew Matthew 20, 34. So Jesus said, okay, here we go. Matthew 20, 34. So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their sight, they received their sight, and they followed him. Blind beggars were crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. And he laid hands on their eyes, and they received their sight, and they saw. And they rejoiced and followed after Jesus because he had compassion on them. Because of God's compassion. Because of the heart of God. He's showing us what God is like. Jesus is showing us what God is like. He cared about the sick. He cared about the blind. He cared about the leprous. He cared about those who had lost loved ones. He cared about those who were in need, a physical need of food so that they can continue on. God had compassion. Romans 9, 15 through 16. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I have compassion. So then, it is not him who wills, nor him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. It's because of God's compassion. It's not because of how great or how awesome you are. It's not how righteous you've lived your life. It's not how smart, how strong, how witty, how many friends you have. It's because of God's compassion. It's because God cares, because God loves. And who does God want to have compassion on? Anyone who will receive. Anyone who will believe. Anyone who will accept. Luke 9, 34 and 35 is where the Jesus is shown forth in his glory. And Peter, James, and John are up there, and they see Elijah and Moses and Jesus speaking with them. And Peter goes, this is a good place for us to be. Let's stay here. But God made a statement. And a voice came out of the clouds, verse 35, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. This is my beloved son, hear him. This is God himself spoke. From heaven to earth, God spoke. And was heard audibly. This is my beloved son. Hear him. We saw this happen when Jesus was baptized. And a voice from heaven said, this is my son. And then we see it happening here. The only other time that I know, that I can think of, that was recorded is on the mountain when God gave the Ten Commandments. He called the children of Israel to him and said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And he listed out the Ten Commandments. And the people, they shrank back. And they ran away. And they said, no, we can't. God is too much. God is too much. And God laid out the law. And here God speaks. This is my beloved son. Hear him. Hear him. I think that's an important statement by God. If you want to have favor with God, if you want to have compassion with God, hear him. Hear him. Listen to what Jesus is saying. Let what Jesus says be important in your life. Listen to what the Spirit of God is speaking into your life because it's important. Jesus was asked, what is the most important law? They came to test him. They said, what's the most important law? And Jesus said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. He says, for all the law and the prophets are built upon this. Think about this statement, what Jesus just said. And it's the reference is Matthew 22, 36 through 40. Jesus just gave you a synopsis of the entire law. He says, here's the point of the entire law. Everything that you need to know about the Old Testament law breaks down to this. Love God. First and foremost, love God with everything in you, everything about you, everything that is you. Love God. And the second, love your neighbor as yourself. He says, for all the law and the prophets are summed up in that. What's God saying? Acknowledge me for who I am and know that I am God of all creation and worthy of all your praise and all of your adoration. You don't exist but by me. I made you for a purpose. I love you. I have a plan and a purpose. All the suffering and the difficulties that you deal with are because of the lies the devil has told you. I am the God of all creation. Trust me. Put your hope in me. And he said, second in importance is this. That you have compassion for people. That you love people. That you're concerned for people. To love them and take care of them and help them as you do yourself. This is what it's about. It's about loving God with all of our heart, with everything in us. Because now we get to know God in a way that we couldn't before Jesus died, was buried, and resurrected. We couldn't have known God the way that we know him now. He couldn't be in our hearts and show himself for who he is. But now he can. And he can give to us and show us and help us to live out the compassion that he has for people. God is not ready to destroy the world. He is ready to save it. The devil has a plan and a purpose for humanity, and that is death and destruction, hatred, violence, using and abusing everyone and everything, and destroying the image of God, the goodness of God. But God has an answer, and it is the truth in Christ Jesus. It is hope. It is restoration. It is salvation. It is healing. It is deliverance. It is forgiveness. It is peace. It is love. It is joy. It is patience. It is kindness. It is goodness. It is wholeness. It's love and it's compassion. And that's the message that God wants to get across to you. That he is full of compassion. And because he is full of compassion, you are full of compassion. That same heart that was in Christ Jesus is in you. If you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it is in you. What you saw God do through creation is the heart that is in you. What you saw Jesus do to those that are in need or for those that are in need is the heart that is in you. The devil wants us to discount people and to not be concerned for them. Jesus wants us to reach out, to heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, and preach the acceptable year of the Lord. To show the compassion and the loving kindness through your life, through you, into the communities, into the families, into your work, into your friends, so that they could know the hope that you have. Because he wants the kingdom to advance, that life might grow in this world and death might be pushed back. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we receive your word. Your word is truth and life. Help this word to cultivate inside of us this week. Bring back to our remembrance the things that you've spoken to us today. Let us help us not forget what you speak to us today, and help us grow in compassion in you, and let your love flow through us into this world, that we can be the answer to those in need in this world. We thank you for it, and we give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys have a wonderful week, and you are blessed.